I would now like to invite our last keynote speaker for this evening. Dr. Bagul Asghar regularly recites Majalis in her hometown of Detroit, Michigan, and will now share her thoughts with us in light of tonight's discourse. I'd like to request that we all give her our undivided attention. Salah.
Congratulations to all of you on the auspicious occasion of the birth of Hazrat Fatima and Happy Islamic Women's Day. According to Imam Khomeini, Women's Day is a day when the woman whom the world is proud of is honored. If a day is to be designated Women's Day, what day is more deserving, is prouder than the day commemorating the joyous birth of Hazrat Zahra upon whom we see? A woman who is the pride of the family of the divine revelation and who, like a sun, shines brightly in the crown of the beloved Islam. As for today's conference, I would like to appreciate the efforts of the organizers and the young speakers all sitting here, as they have really worked hard to make this program and conference a success. The topic of the speech competition, that is our present role as females in the light of Hazrat Fatima's character, is a well-chosen one, because actually her life is an answer to all the pertinent questions of womanhood in today, and for that matter, every society in the past and future. Today I have been given a chance to talk about one aspect of the personality of this greatest lady in the history of Islam. I will speak about her role in defending Islam by first defending Nabuwwat and then Wilayat or Imamat. Most of the references in my speech are taken from the book of Dr. Ali Shariati, Fatima is Fatima. And as this is the last speech and kind of wrap up from all the speeches, so it would have a lot from what we heard from the young speakers and our speaker. So Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam's whole life refers to the deep and revolutionary influence that her memory evoked in Muslim society and the role she played in the extensiveness of Islamic transformation establishment as a religion. The Islamic history is greatly influenced by her life. She kept alive the spirit of those who seek justice and oppose oppression and discrimination elsewhere and in the Islamic society during her life and even after her death. In spite of her being a great, majestic and powerful person, only a little is known about her real personality, as the extent of information about her is only limited to a few aspects of her life. No one has been able to offer her adequate praise, for one cannot contain a seed in a bottle. So now let's talk about her role of defending Islam by first defending the Nabuwwat during the life of the Prophet and then Wilayat or Imamat after he passed away. How did she do that? How did she defend Nabuwwat? She defended Nabuwwat by being a companion of the Prophet in every hurdle he faced in the establishment of Islam as a religion. She was part of the tortures, difficulties, hatred, and treachery her father, mother, and other believers had to put up for years in Makkah. The love of Fatima alayhi salam for the Prophet was more than the love of a daughter for her father and vice versa. She was also known as the mother of her father, Umme Habiba, a sympathizer with him in his exile in Jordan, acceptor of his trouble and sorrow, companion in his religious struggle. With all her faith, power, and feelings, she helped so that the message of her father as the Prophet of Allah can find permanence amid this group, so that correctness, the word worship of truth, freedom, justice, piety, equality, and the roots of brotherhood among all the Muslims can become strong. And so that this young community, which was without power and without awareness, could take roots in the powerful way of knowledge, awareness, justice, and human chastity of Islam. She was not just a daughter, but actually the protector of Islam and companion in his prophethood. His teachings were incomplete without her. Because women of his time and the time to come needed a role model in her form. She was a woman who embodied all the virtues of the Prophet. That is why the Prophet was indebted to her. He always stood for her when she came, showing the respect he had for her, not as a father, but as a prophet. How did he reflect in that? We see that the Prophet insisted that his companions and all the people around him knew how much he loved Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam and their mother and father, Fatima alayhi salam and Ali alayhi salam. If not, why did his frustration in the mosque took so long when Hussein alayhi salam signed on his back and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited till he came down himself? Whenever he used to walk in the streets or bazaar of Medina, he carried one of these children on his shoulders. If he saw them fall down, he would stop in the middle of his work, come from the pulpit, pick them up in his arms, and again return to the pulpit. Similarly, we see that the visit to Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam was the last when the Prophet used to embark on a journey, and the first when he entered Medina. Why did he treat Fatima alayhi salam with so much respect, kissed her hands and face so much, and with such insistence? He constantly tried to show his spirit and love for his family to everyone every time he spoke from the minbar or pulpit. After his prayers, he added the words, "God love them as well," referring to Hassan, Hussein, Fatima, and Ali alayhi salam. "Their satisfaction is my satisfaction, and my satisfaction is God's satisfaction. God, whoever bothers them has bothered me, and whoever has bothered me bothers thee." But when the Prophet was sick and bedridden, politics pushed faith and piety from the city of Muhammad as if he was no longer the Prophet. After the death of the Prophet, the family of the Prophet had always showed his love for him, exposed in their own city and in this world. Everything turned around, faces changed. Truth was replaced by dirty politics. No heart could feel what Fatima alayhi salam was feeling then. She was his only survivor, the light of his home, the only pillar of his family, and finally, the only mother of his children and inheritors, Imam Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam, and the wife of his beloved Ali. The heaviest blow Fatima received was the death of her father, but another blow came to her as well. Someone else was elected in place of the Prophet. It did not matter who he was. The only thing that mattered was it was not Ali alayhi salam. Now all those whys were answered. Fatima alayhi salam, who has performed jihad for the establishment of Islam, defended and safeguarded Nabuwwat, who had stepped along the way with the first mujahid and real pilgrims, from her childhood onwards was left alone. Now she had to play her role of defending wilaya or imamah, which is the continuation of Nabuwwat, by paving this difficult and bumpy way for those who followed her. The fate of Islam was decided in Saqifa, without the presence of Ali, Salman, Abu Zar, Ibqar, and others. Now all these people had gathered in Fatima's home, sad and angry. By the time Ali alayhi salam had finished burying the Prophet, the great companion buried his rights. Values had changed once again. There was a renewed regime of old traditional values and customs, tribalism and dirty politics. Ali held the values of pious virtues and knowledge, bravery, high thinking. His entire fortune was remaining loyal to the Prophet. He had the power of speech and sword. All these values created hatred not only among his enemies, but also jealousy among his friends, which could not be made up for. Despite distinguishing the position of Ali on various occasions, like for example in Khaybar, the Prophet said, "Tomorrow I will give the flag in the hand of loves both God and His Prophet, and both God and His Prophet love him. But alas, Muslims still fail to recognize Ali by not taking into account and not emphasizing his Islamic virtues. Here is how Fatima alayhi salam played her role of defending Vilayat and Imam. It was not as if he just sat at home and knew nothing of the politics going on. She knew all this very well, and she had learned how to walk through struggles since her childhood. She had spent her maturing years of youth in the political fire of her time. The point for us ladies to ponder is that her ethical purity did not stop her from performing her social responsibility. Fatima was a victim of two tragedies, death of her father and denial of leadership to the worthy and rightful heir, who had already been chosen and introduced on various occasions by the Prophet. She made it evident from her behavior and speeches that who was on the wrong path against Allah and His Prophet, and thus showed the Muslims of her time that Ali was the rightful heir and the Muslims of her time were in favor of what is against Islam. She was worried about the justice and leadership of the religion that was preached and protected by her father all his life. Her first defense was remaining steadfast and showing her anger and disgust by remaining silent when the door of her house was closed. Her second defense was speaking the truth in the face of those tyrants of her time that did have made her angry and were responsible for her contempt, which actually meant that they have made the Prophet of Allah angry and disapprove of them. Then came the decision of confiscating bid'ah that belonged to Fatima, thus paralyzing the family of the Prophet economically. But it was now clear that they cannot get the allegiance of Ali because Fatima would oppose any power or force that did not know the meaning of right. All those who were around either remained silent forever or retreated in a corner or were forced to leave. Fatima alayhi salam was the only one who did not sit down and continued her struggle and resistance against the oppressive and unworthy caliphate, demonstrating that one must stand against the arrogant oppressors even if they are only armed with words. Fatima was not fighting the caliphate for a piece of land, but she was fighting against the usurpation and use of wrongful force by the new regime and wanted to condemn it. She knew she cannot defeat them. She cannot get the rights of Ali back to him, but at least the time will come. It will be proven that the ruling forces did not represent truth in her time, and she rebelled against the oppressive rulers and fought for justice and freedom. This is actually a message for us all today. The companions of her father turned into strangers. She went to each and every one of them. Fatima went to them personally and spoke with them. She accounted them one by one for Ali's worthiness, superiorities, and virtues. Through her accurate knowledge of Islam, the power of logic and reasoning, and political awareness, she proved the rightfulness of Ali and wrongfulness of the decisions or elections in Safifa. She accounted them for their political negligence and frightened them of the unstable future Islam awaited with this kind of leadership. Fatima did everything in her strength to defend Islam by first defending the Mu'adh and then the Ali or Imamah by proving that Ali was the rightful and virtuous heir. After the death of her father, each day was like the first day of his death. Every day her impatience grew and her cries became more painful. She used to say, "O Father, what miseries have fallen upon me after you? If they had fallen upon a bright day, they would turn it into night." So when the people of Medina witnessed a woman mourning day and night, it was not because her father had died. It was because the Muslims forgot what their Prophet had taught them only a few hours after his death. She was not mourning for the position of her husband, but because the leadership of Islam had fallen into the wrong hands of oppressors. Her bereavement was not for a piece of land she inherited from her father, but so that the people know that the new regime was an usurper one and serving their own purposes. She did fight them even with the little hope she had, all that she had seen built over her lifetime by the efforts of the Prophet had fallen to ruin. As ended, Fatma was content and awaited her death. She fought and showed resistance against the oppressors of her time to the end of her life and even after her death. How come? Because she mentioned in her will to be buried at night so that no one could recognize her grave, and the people responsible for her contempt would not follow her to the grave or participate in her funeral. That is why in the history of Muslim nations, and even today among the deprived masses, Fatma is a source of inspiration for freedom, justice, seeking for what is right, and resistance against oppression, crime, cruelty, and discrimination. As we mentioned in the beginning of the speech, life of Hazrat Fatma alayhi salam is an answer to all the pertinent questions of womanhood. According to Ali Shariati, the problems faced by today's Muslim women can be solved by answering just these two questions. Who am I and what I want to be? What I want, how do I become myself? Based on this, the women in today's Islamic society can be divided into three categories. First is the traditional kind, who have maintained their traditional mold and they do not face the problem of identity. Second is the new imported kind, who have accepted the new imported mold and temporarily solved the problem for themselves. And the third kind is between these two, who do not completely accept the traditional form and do not want to surrender to the new imported form. They do not want to accept the modern one to replace the traditional one. They want to make decisions through reason and choice in the light of Islam and relate it to history, culture, and society. They cannot remain heedless of and indifferent to Islam. And the answer to all these, to both of these questions is just one word, Fatima alayhi salam. Fatima is a woman Islam wants every woman to be. She is a guide in herself for each and every one of us, an outstanding example to follow, an ideal woman who bears witness to any woman who wants to become herself and wants to know who she is through her own choice. Fatima is a symbol of daughter, wife, mother, a responsible, politically aware, fighting oppressors and struggling woman when facing her time and fate of the Islamic society. In the end, I would like to say that may Allah give us all the courage to follow in the footsteps of Bibi Fatima and Shahada Masumin alayhi salam. According to Imam Khomeini, we should all take example from Islam by looking at Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam and her children. It is the duty of us all to strive to acquire learning or knowledge and achieve godliness or religiousness as they are for us all. Baqir Rahman and Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, thank you, Dr. Badul, for your informative and profound speech.